Hello, it's Wednesday, February 1st, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio, which can be found at www.wingtv.net. This is the second anniversary of Wing TV.
Can you believe it?
2 years, moving into our third year right now. We could sit here and talk all day long about what's happened in the last 2 years, but we'd just like to thank, first of all, our webmaster, Pete, out in Los Angeles. If you see the site, we have a new updated Wing TV homepage there. Some of the links still don't work. They have to be updated yet, but the majority of it is done. And second of all, we'd like to thank everybody out there
who
watches Wing TV, listens to Wing Radio.
And you email and call us with your suggestions and different ideas for our website periodically. We really appreciate all your input, and we thank you all very much.
Right. We're getting right now about 1.2 million hits a month. We're being heard in 104 different countries right now, and we think we have one of the brightest, most intelligent audiences out there because we can see more and more that we don't want sheep here. We don't want sheep in America, and we don't want sheep watching this show or listening to this show.
Yeah, I think the people that listen to our show are maybe the most in-tune people on the planet.
Yeah, and see, Lisa and I talk about this off-air, too, and just say how, you know, 99% of the people, those who voted for Bush and Kerry in the last election, that's 99% of people that are still in the sheep corrals. There's only 1% left that is in the alternative media, the Patriot movement, and of those, a lot of those are still
in various pens and corrals
of the sheep mentality. So we're glad that everybody has found Wing TV, spread the word, and we're just glad that you're out there because that's the reason why we're doing this show.
And we're looking forward to another year with you.
Exactly. Now, real quickly before we jump into George Bush's State of the Union speech last night, Judge Alito has finally been confirmed. He's on the Supreme Court. Ben Shalom Bernanke has been confirmed as the new Federal Reserve Chairman. He's taken over for Ellen Greenspan. And I'll tell you what, Lisa, he has his hands full with this economy, don't you think?
I don't envy him one bit.
Yeah, not even for a second. And it seems like historically, whenever new Federal Reserve Chairmen start their tenure, within the first few months, there's always some kind of catastrophe or disaster. So
I'll tell you what, they say that presidents age during their terms in office. I can only imagine how the people who take this job age quickly.
Yeah, there's probably
Look at Greenspan.
Yeah, there's probably no job in the world right now that I would want less than Ben Shalom Bernanke's job. Now, I don't know how many of you actually
put yourself through.
Sat down and watched that State of the Union speech last night. And before we get into the content, we just want to give you some of our impressions. And, Lisa, when I watched it last night, did you ever watch one of those made-for-TV movies or even a movie on the big screen where somebody's playing the president and you can tell it's not really the president?
Right.
That's my impression last night, that here's a guy, considering all the problems this country faces, here's a guy playing the president.
Yeah, and it was pretty obvious, too, the way after he'd speak a little bit, then he'd look up and he'd get this stupid smile on his face like he's looking for approval, you know, like the deer in the headlights alternating with this really evil smirk on his face.
Yeah. And he'd wink his eye. And
like,
as I said,
I did good, right?
Yeah. And as I said, with all the problems facing this nation, wouldn't it be great to have someone that you could admire?
And respect.
Some respect that you could look up to, that you could trust, and that you could put your faith in to lead this country through whatever's facing us down the line. And we got this guy that's playing the president.
Now, how many years has he been in office?
He's starting his sixth year
now. Okay, 6 years in office. The man still can't pronounce nuclear. And what's the deal with Terra?
Yeah.
Terra?
Yeah, isn't that in And Gone with the Wind, wasn't that the name of the mansion, Terra? I mean, that's the way he says it.
That was Terra.
Yeah.
Well, same difference, I
guess. Yeah, same difference.
Yes, George.
Yeah.
Did you see the look on Hillary's face in the audience?
Well, they kept cutting to her, and she was either doing the head shake or whatever.
You know what's interesting to watch? When all these different people in the government get together at one of these things, the way the looks get exchanged, the little furtive glances and the little whispering in the ear stuff that goes on. Yeah. And, of course, Bush just made a moron of himself as usual.
Well, and that's another thing I noticed. But with Bush, what this guy's competent enough to do is make a speech. So he's at least competent to go up there and speak to the crowd. Now, there was nothing substantive of what he said, but that's the extent of where we can rely on him. And if he ever goes off the cuff, you know, off of the teleprompter, then it's a disaster because we have all these Bushisms. But you're right, Lisa, when before the president came in and they showed the Senate there and all the people milling around and so forth, and you see this hand-shaking phoniness and so forth, and they're glad-handing and smiling. But you know that behind the scenes, they'll backbite one another.
Oh, absolutely.
In the drop of a hat.
And what's with all the standing up and sitting down? It kind of reminded me of Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Everything but the kneeling. Everything but the genuflecting.
Well, it was like a big pep rally. And again, with all the problems facing this country, we have a pep rally there. Uh-huh. And one thing, even though these people will backbite each other to a certain extent, we have to realize, though, that what we saw last night, this is the big country club. This is the clique that knows that the system is working for them.
Yeah, and our president, no, your president, just wanted us all to know that the war in Iraq is going great, the economy's doing swell.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And the future's looking up.
Yeah. And you know, the conventional wisdom, I think, of most American people is if you would walk down the street and ask them, what do you think of President George Bush? I think 70%, 80%, 60% would say, the guy's an idiot. I mean, you think those are that figure's accurate? 60 to 80% would just say, this guy's an idiot.
I would say that.
Yeah. I mean, you have like the 20% that are the hardcore Bushies. That, oh, you know, if this guy came in and took a crap at the podium last night, they would still applaud him. But I think other than the 20% Kool-Aid drinkers, 80% of America thinks this guy's an idiot. And even though we don't go to polls in this show because we don't trust them, I think if we did our own poll, that's where we'd come to. 70 to 80% would think George Bush is an idiot. And he's the one standing up there supposedly leading us. It's just, well, it's mind-boggling.
America voted him in.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he says America rejects the false comfort of isolationism, and he was talking about delivering the repressed, as if he would know how to do that. He says the only way to defeat the terrorists is to defeat their vision of dark hatred and fear. Hey, George, I agree.
But you're the terrorist.
Yeah. Then he talks about Hamas, how Hamas must recognize Israel, disarm, reject terrorism, and work for everlasting peace. Hey, shouldn't that also apply to Israel? And when is Israel going to recognize Palestine?
Yeah, it has to be a two-sided coin there. And I'm glad you brought that up, Lisa, because George Bush was talking last night about how great or how terrible isolationism is, how terrible protectionism is. And if he would have had the guts, he would have said how horrible nationalism is. I mean, all he's doing is reiterating what his father, George Bush Sr., said when he made his famous New World Order speeches. This is someone out there promoting globalism. He's using code words, but he's saying America has to join the globalist agenda. But if you ask yourself, what has globalism done for America? Well, let's look. We're in this disastrous war in Iraq. That's globalism. We're doing the New World Order's dirty work. Did that help us? No. How about outsourcing? Has that helped us? Of course not. And how about illegal immigration? These are all the central tenets
of globalism. Yeah, you know, he wants border protection, and then he also wants the guest worker program. He pays lip service to Iran in this sort of conciliatory, empty gesture tone of voice, talking directly to the Iranian people. But then he says that America will continue to rally the world, and Iran is a nation held hostage. And how dare they defy the world with nuclear ambitions? God forbid they want to develop nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. I guess Israel has the lockdown on that.
Yeah, and Israel is such a peaceful nation.
Yeah.
Now, we should mention the alternate buzz last night, of course, was Cindy Sheehan. And she was invited to watch President Bush's State of the Union by Representative Lynn Woolsey, and also Barbara Lee. Well, before the speech even began, Cindy Sheehan was removed from the premises.
I guess she was trying to unfurl a banner or something.
Well, she had a shirt on. It's what she had. It said something about, this is how many are dead, how many more will die.
And, you know, George can't stand being reminded of how many people are dead because of his bogus war. So
they had
her removed.
But what I think she should have did was, instead of wearing the shirt, was dressed like everybody else. And then in the middle of the speech,
yell it out.
Start yelling out.
Like we do.
That's what she should have did, because she's going to get arrested either way. She got arrested for wearing the shirt. And if she would have stood up and yelled out, she would have got arrested too. So why not do something that has a real impact? And, you know, I want to interject here for a second, Lisa, about Cindy Sheehan, because the anti-war crowd basically lauds her as if she's the Virgin Mary. She's the second coming, you know? But just a week or so ago, she was down there with Hugo Chavez.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that looked at the Wing TV homepage yesterday, the news updates, saw that Chavez is saying socialism or death. Now, what Cindy Sheehan is this is the hardcore socialist left. That's what she is. And people like Mike Rupert and the whole anti-war crowd is lauding her, and she's so great. And she is making a good impact and raising awareness about the war. But she's a socialist. When we saw her down there in Washington, D.C. last year, mm-hmm. who was she with?
Jesse Jackson.
And Jesse Jackson is a hardcore socialist. Now, you have to ask yourself.
And boy, was he shepherding her around.
You better believe it. Everybody has to ask themselves, do we want socialism in this country? That's what I'm fighting against, because the New World Order is pushing us towards socialism. They want a fascist society run by the corporations where everybody is evened out on the same playing field. That's what socialism is.
Yep.
And that's what Cindy Sheehan and Hillary Clinton and Jesse Jackson and Hugo Chavez, that's what they're all pushing for. So be wary of these individuals.
And of course, George had to interject some other crap into his speech, as in the enemy has not lost the desire or capability to attack us. Yeah, no kidding, George. And then he asked Congress to reauthorize the Patriot Act. You know how popular that is with the American people, especially the ones that are in tune. It's real popular. And then he says, we did not know that terrorists had plans until it was too late, referring to 9/11.
Yeah. Well, what he's doing...
Yeah, we're supposed to believe that one, too. And he wants this terrorist surveillance program. He says, we will not sit back and wait to be hit again. You know what, George? You're right. We won't.
Yeah. And what he's doing is, again, it's been 4.5 years now since 9/11, he's still using 9/11 as a pretext, this time for the illegal wiretaps.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there's another part last night, Lisa, that we talked about during the speech. There was a family. I think it was the Clay family.
Oh, that was pathetic.
Yeah. And George Bush mentions their son, that he was killed over in Iraq.
A month ago?
Yeah. So they pan into the audience, and there's the Clay family, the mother, the father, and the sister.
And they're just using this family.
Yeah.
Who just lost their son in the war.
Yeah. So they stand up, and George Bush thanks them. And he says, we salute you. And here's this family, these brainwashed idiots, this poor family that lost their son, and they're saluting George Bush. They're saluting George Bush and these neocon, New World Order, bloodthirsty monsters for killing their son.
Yeah.
And then the camera goes back to George Bush, and he winks at them. And I'm like, how pathetic. This family gets their son needlessly killed when all of the people in the audience, all 535 senators, congressmen, not one of their damn kids is over there fighting.
Right.
But these people, they're so patriotic, they're so brainwashed, that they salute George Bush for murdering their
Clueless.
Son. What
you know who didn't look happy? The governor of Louisiana, Kathleen Blanco.
Yeah.
She was clapping almost like begrudgingly. She didn't have a smile on her face, and the look in her eyes is like if she could have punched him in the face, she would have.
Yeah.
Which I would have clapped for, personally.
Yeah.
Then he starts talking about, he says, we're in a long war against a determined enemy. And then he started talking about changing the tone. I guess that doesn't refer to Dick Cheney when he told Leahy to go F himself. Like, they weren't worried about tone then, but now they are. And then he's talking about being competitive. how America is going to be the leader and we have to be good stewards of tax dollars. Since when do they ever worry about that?
Yeah, he hasn't vetoed a spending bill since he came into office. Another thing he mentioned, Lisa, was when talking about the Iraqi war, he says, we are winning.
Yeah,
no,
what
we're not.
Planet is this guy on?
Let's look at how we're winning. The war is a disaster.
Mm.
The people in Iraq and the entire Middle East and for a big chunk of the world hate our guts. The American people are sick of the war. And Halliburton and KBR and Raytheon and all the defense contractors are making a ton of money.
Right.
The oil companies are having record-breaking profits, but we're winning
but
the war.
George says we're addicted to oil,
yeah,
and we're going to be moving away from using oil for energy, for fuel, to power automobiles. He wants to go to these hybrid hydrogen and electric, ethanol, and so forth type fueled vehicles. And
but did you notice the year?
But how come he's only promoted oil all these years?
Yeah.
Him and Cheney.
Did you notice the year they said that they want to have a reduction of 70%?
Yeah, by 2025.
2025.
There won't be a planet by 2025 at the rate we're going.
That's 19 years.
Yeah.
What the hell are we supposed to do for the next 19 years?
Once all these oil exec buddies and relatives of theirs retire.
Yeah,
and
live on a dole.
Right.
So I was thinking, what are we supposed to do today and tomorrow and next month?
We're supposed to punt. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. I mean, 2025, no short-term solutions whatsoever. And also, Lisa, did he ever mention something called the Iranian bourse last night?
No,
surprisingly
I was listening very closely, and I didn't hear him say anything about the Iranian bourse. You know who did allude to it? Before Bush came out, Dick Morris was being interviewed by Britt Hume, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And he came out, maybe it was O'Reilly, one of them interviewed
him. O'Reilly.
And he said, because we haven't been disciplining Iran the way we should because of their oil situation over there. So he alluded to it, but even he didn't use the word, the B word.
So we've been spending quite a bit of time on the Iranian oil bourse, and I don't think we're going to have time today. Well, actually, Lisa, let's jump into this a little bit. I had enough of George Bush anyway, in all honesty. Now, the third article in our 10-part series on the Iranian oil bourse deals with the New World Order, and the European Union. Where do they fit into this whole picture? Well, the way I look at it is they want the Middle East to become essentially the way Europe became after World War I and World War II. Basically, a union.
Right. They want to reshape or reconfigure the Middle East into this European Union-style block of countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what they did during World War I, World War II, is they got rid of all the kings and the princes and the royal families.
And you see, one by one, they're starting to go in there and take out whatever regime is already in place and replace it with a pro-New World Order puppet government.
Exactly. Now, of course, the New World Order ruling elite never do their own dirty work. So what they have to do is go out and get some implementers. Well, they found some. They knew these people started lingering around in the 70s during the Nixon administration, started to flourish during the Reagan and Bush senior cabinets, and these are called the neocons.
Right, also known as the crazies, or as we call them, the psychos.
Yeah, so here's my impression of the deal that the New World Order elite cut with the neocons. They said, if you can pull off this attack on America, it'll happen in New York City and D.C. We're going to call it 9/11. If you can pull this off, what will allow you to do then is to go over there into the Middle East and start knocking these countries down like dominoes. Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Syria, on and on and on.
Just remember, too, the international bankers are really pro-Zionist,
mm-hmm,
just like the PNAC crazies, the neocons.
Right.
So they figured, one hand washes the other, they can also help benefit Israel. You know, that Israel is never, ever left out of the equation. Notice that.
That's exactly right. The only problem now with this scenario is that the neocons blew it.
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't matter because from way back when, the international bankers have financed both sides of every war and conflict. So
either way,
no matter who wins or loses, the banksters always win.
Yeah. Now, see, the neocons were supposed to pull off 9/11 without a hitch. Well, we've talked so much on this show and in outside interviews, they blew it. More holes in it than a block of Swiss cheese. Also now, the war in Iraq. They were supposed to go in there, knock Iraq off, then boom, go into Iran, Syria, Lebanon, and basically take over the entire Middle East, reshape it, reconfigure it into this New World Order union. But they're not doing that either, are they?
No, they should have added a third one to shock and awe. The third one should be disgusted.
Yeah. So, either way, though, like Lisa says, the elite don't care, because if the neocons do go in and knock them down like dominoes, then they've reconfigured the Middle East into a union.
But if they don't, they end up with their multi-world order anyway, which is what they want.
Yeah, they don't like as much power in the hands of one country,
or
America.
Even two.
Yeah, like the Cold War. So what they're aiming for now is this multi-world order. And one of the big components of this, one of the drawbacks or the stumbling blocks is that the whole world uses only one currency right now, the U.S. dollar.
Right. They may even be deliberately manipulating the market and so forth to get a multi-currency going.
Right. Now, people think, especially in conspiracy circles, that the New World Order wants a one-world currency.
But they already have that.
Yeah, they have that right now. It's called the U.S. dollar.
Right.
The only problem is there's too much potential for disaster. Because if the dollar tanks, that means China tanks, that means Japan tanks, that means there's a global, not recession, depression.
It will put the international market in complete turmoil.
Yeah. Now, somewhere down the line, they may introduce a one-world global currency, but right now, they figure, why put all their eggs in one basket? So they introduced the euro in 2000, and somewhere along the line, China may even introduce their own trading currency or reserve currency. So then what it does is it leads more to this multi-world
order. But just think about it. Now, Iran is switching over and trying to do their Boris thing. Now, what if China does the same thing? Are we going to attack China, too?
Right.
Doubtful.
Yeah, so what this does is it basically benefits every country in the world except for one. And who would that country be?
Yes, three guesses.
Yeah, the country that most of you listening to this show right now are living in, the United States of America. We're the ones that have our heads on a chopping block. We're the ones doing all the dirty work for the New World Order.
You know what Bush was saying last night? He was talking about how we have to stop being so dependent on Middle East oil, but we don't get most of our oil from the Middle East. We get more oil from Canada
than any other country. So think about that.
See how they want you to believe like we're so highly dependent on getting our oil from the Middle East when we actually don't get it from there, most of it.
Yeah, the country that we get the most single amount of oil from is Canada. But you would never know that if you listen to these neocon talk show hosts.
Their icon of terror is now Iran.
Yeah. So to learn more about this, of course, go to the Wing TV homepage.
Or should I say Terra?
Yes. This is installment number 3. Tomorrow we're going to talk about war and the war game scenarios that the quote-unquote experts are laying out there. And just a little hint is that it doesn't look good. A preemptive strike on Iran, the experts are saying, doesn't bode well for the American people, for the American military. But do you think the New World Order elite give a damn about that? They're going to use us, exhaust us, deplete us until there's nothing left.
How else do you knock down a superpower?
Yeah.
You have to do all those things. You have to drain the superpower because otherwise you'll never knock them off the top of the hill.
Yeah, and then the final blow will be the switch away in currency from the U.S. dollar. And it's really surprising, Lisa, that George Bush didn't mention any of this stuff. You would think he'd want to inform the American people, huh?
Well, if they get away with what they want to do, we'll end up being land of the free, home of the drained.
We'll end up becoming a socialist country, which is what they want. That's why the borders are open. That's why there's all this outsourcing, is they want to even everybody out. And that's why I was warning everyone earlier about this far-left socialist cabal that the media, the mainstream media, seems to cater to, you know, Hugo Chavez and Cindy Sheehan and Jesse Jackson, Hillary Clinton. Be very wary of these people, because if you want socialism, they're the ones that are going to lead you down this path. One last thing, Lisa.
Wait, I want to say something. Watch the language they use, too.
Right.
Like how he refers to the criminals that cross the border illegally, because that's what they are. People who cross our border illegally are breaking laws. therefore they're criminals. He keeps calling them guest workers.
Yeah, guest workers, right.
See, it goes down easier when you call them a guest worker.
Well, it's the same way when he was talking about the evils of isolationism and so forth. This is all New World Order speak. You know, Orwell is rolling in his grave.
Also known as BS.
Yeah. And one last thing. I guess Rudolph Giuliani is making a lot of buzz lately with these speeches that he's given, drawing sometimes up to 15,000 people per speech. It looks like he may be the front runner for the Republican ticket. But when you look at Giuliani, he's very, very socially liberal. I mean, he's pro-abortion, pro-gay rights, pro-immigration, and so forth. And the hardcore GOP that's already getting sick of George Bush because he hasn't fulfilled any of his promises, what if they turn on Giuliani? Or what if there's a dark horse third-party candidate like a Ross Perot that drains votes away?
I would love to protest at one of those speeches Giuliani gives. I would love to, about 9/11.
Yeah. But see, here's the scenario.
I think he's not as cocooned as Bush is.
Yeah. But what makes this scenario interesting now is that if Hillary gets the nod, for the Democrats, we have a split in the GOP. Guess who's going to stroll into office? That devil, Hillary Clinton. I mean, I think it's all being set up this way to split the GOP to make way. And we don't want any of them in there. As we said last election, anyone that votes for a Republican or a Democrat is an idiot because you're supporting the status quo. And we all saw the status quo last night on TV. That was everybody sitting out there in front of George Bush.
Yeah, well, like we said yesterday, an idiot is a genius to another idiot.
Yeah. Anyway, a lot to think about, folks. Check out our new and updated Wing TV homepage. Again, thanks to our webmaster, Pete, out there.
And we are certainly looking forward to a packed third year of Wing TV with all of you.
Until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you all then.